Good evening. We'll call to order the regular meeting of Grover Beach City Council, Tuesday, October 15th, 2024. Thank you all for joining us. This meeting may be viewed on Channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the city's website and on slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by attending the meeting or calling 805-321-6639. The phone lines are open. We'll start off with our favorite, my favorite part of the meeting, and that is a flag salute directed by one of our local students. And tonight, it will be presented by Ariane Asciendo. Thank you, Asensio. Thank you. Ariane is 11 years old and in the sixth grade at Grover Beach Elementary School. She enjoys writing and seeing her friends in her classroom. She loves living on the Central Coast because she is able to go to the beach. In high school, she would like to pursue studying art and would like to take a ceramics class. Outside of school, her interests include playing soccer because she has played since she was two and is now on a club soccer team called Albion. Tonight, Ariane is accompanied by her mom and her teacher. Terrific. So if you'd like to come up and we'll all stand, and when you're ready, you let us know.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So if you'd just like to come over here, we're going to take a picture. We don't let you go with that. If we could please move on to roll call, please, City Clerk.
Councilmember Rushing.
Here.
Councilmember Weirich.
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Here.
Mayor Bright.
I'm here. Thank you. Closed session announcement. City Attorney Lamelli.
Thank you, Mayor. Council, there are no reportable actions taken during closed session.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on now to agenda review. This is where anyone on the council or staff could make changes or pull items to change the order of the day. Does anyone care to make any changes? Okay, very good.
I move that we approve the agenda as posted.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'll second it.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. No opposed. Very good. We'll move on. Now we come to another fun part of our meeting, and this is a ceremonial calendar. We have a number of proclamations this evening, and we will start off with a proclamation for the Filipino American History Month. I've asked Councilmember Weirich to read this for us, and it will be accepted by Abe Garces.
Thank you, Mayor, and it's my pleasure to read the proclamation of the Grover Beach City Council declaring the month of October 2024 as Filipino American History Month. Whereas in 2009, U.S. Congress recognized October as Filipino American History Month in the United States, and whereas Filipino Americans are the second largest Asian American group in the nation and the third largest ethnic group in California. Whereas the celebration of Filipino American History Month in October commemorates the first recorded presence of Filipinos in the continental United States, which occurred on October 18, 1587, when Luzonos Indios came ashore from the Spanish galleon Nuestra Señora de Esperanza and landed at what is now Morro Bay, California. And whereas through the development of these three institutions, Filipino American Studies, Filipino American National Historical Society, and Filipino American History Month, we recognize how Filipino Americans have initiated collective grassroots efforts to ensure that their voices are heard, that their experiences are recognized, and their histories are told. And whereas we acknowledge these major historical markers in our community, and we encourage Filipino Americans and their allies across the country to collectively celebrate Filipino American History Month with these legacies in mind. And whereas in acknowledging the many legacies created by Filipino Americans across the United States, we encourage our community members to brainstorm ways to create a more sustainable impact for future generations of Filipino American communities too. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Grover Beach City Council encourages all citizens to learn about and celebrate the rich heritage of Filipino Americans, does hereby officially proclaim that the month of October 2024 is Filipino American History Month.
Very good. Mr. Garces, would you care to come forward? Yes, would you care to say a few words at the podium? Okay. And then we'll take a picture with the proclamation. Thank you. I should have been more clear. Sorry. Here he comes. Okay, there we go.
Honorable Mayor and the members of the City Council, officials and staff of the City of Grover Beach, my name is Abe Garces, President of the Filipino Community of SLO County. Here with me tonight are Emerito Cabreros, President of the Narvakenian Association of Central California, Eden Bautista, President of the Filipino Seniors in Santa Maria, and also the founder of the Filipino-American National Historical Society, Rosalie Marquez. And of course, our queen in 2022 for the celebration of the Filipino History Month, we have Kathy Crewell. On behalf of the 9 PhilAm organizations from Los Osos to Lompoc, I am honored to accept the resolution of the City of Grover Beach proclaiming October as the Filipino-American History Month. Last Sunday, October 13, we had our celebration for this year. It was held in Elks Lodge in Santa Maria, and it was hosted by the Filipino-American Association of Santa Maria Valley. We take turns in hosting the celebration. And we have been doing this for the last 20 years. It is very important for us to celebrate the Filipino-American History Month. Both the U.S. and state legislatures have declared October as the PhilAm History Month. This is in recognition for the many significant contributions of our people to this nation. We have been part of the American history for many centuries. The first Filipino landed in America in 1587, particularly in Morbe, California. There is a landmark. There is a Filipino landmark in Morbe. In the early 1920s, many Filipinos called the Malungs left their country and family to work in plantations in Hawaii and California. One of them was my paternal grandfather, who worked in the sugar plantation in Maui, Hawaii. He came back to the Philippines in 1964 after his retirement. In the late 1960s and 1970s, many professionals like doctors, nurses, engineers, and teachers came here to help fill the workforce on a growing technology and health industry. One of the professionals is my sister, Erlinda, who later petitioned all of us to join her here in California. The USA provided plenty of opportunities to the Filipino Americans so they could achieve their American dream. I would like to believe that we have achieved this dream. I came here in December 23, 1984, with so much excitement and hopes for a better and richer future. After all, America is the land of great opportunities. I was equipped with excellent credentials, education, training, work experiences, strong values, and social skills. So I thought, how could they ever fail in America? But that wasn't so in the beginning. It was very challenging from the very start. But I worked hard. I was strong-willed and determined to succeed. It was Guadalupe Union School District that gave me that opportunity. Only 1 year in America, I was hired as a teacher at Mary Buren Elementary School after getting my multiple subjects credential in Cal Poly. I retired in 2009, and now I'm giving back to the community as the president of the Filipino community of SLO. Again, to Mayor Bright and the City Council, thank you so much for this proclamation.
Thank you.
Can we have a picture with the forward. President, please? Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll move on now to the proclamation for 2024 Dating and Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and this will be accepted by Michael Boyer with Lumina Alliance. I've asked Councilmember Zimmerman to read this for us, please.
My pleasure. Proclamation of the Grover Beach City Council declaring October as Dating and Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Whereas Dating and Domestic Violence Awareness Month calls attention to the fact that intimate partner violence is widespread and impacts every person in Grover Beach. And whereas Lumina Alliance provides essential life-saving services for survivors, their children, and families throughout San Luis Obispo County, including Grover Beach. And whereas domestic violence is a pattern of control in an intimate relationship where one person uses coercion and violence to gain power and control over his or her partner. And whereas domestic violence can result in physical injury, psychological trauma, and even death. The devastating consequences of domestic violence can cross generations and can last a lifetime. And whereas there is need to focus on the individualized needs of domestic violence survivors, and whereas the marginalization of certain groups in society, including undocumented individuals, transgender individuals, and those living with disabilities, increase their vulnerability to intimate partner violence. And whereas Lumina Alliance continues to provide a safe environment to those affected by domestic violence with crisis intervention, counseling, education, legal services, and emergency safe housing with the help of dedicated volunteers and professionals. And whereas Lumina Alliance has received over 2,000 phone calls to the crisis and information line, provided more than 6,000 collective nights for shelter clients, and provided more than 4,800 hours of therapy. And whereas Lumina Alliance serves as a brighter light during dark times for survivors of intimate partner violence, illuminating a path forward towards safety and healing. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Grover Beach City Council, speaking on behalf of the citizens of Grover Beach, in recognition of the important work done by domestic violence programs, does hereby proclaim October 24 to be National Dating and Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Thank you. Mr. Boyer? Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mayor Bright and council and staff for this proclamation. My name is Michael Boyer. I'm a past board chair of Lumina Alliance. I currently serve as the board governance committee chair. Lumina's mission is to empower those impacted by sexual and intimate partner violence through innovative advocacy, healing, and prevention programs. Our agency, though we have changed our name many times, has supported survivors for over 40 years. We continue to serve as the bright light during dark times for those in need. We offer a 24-hour crisis line, self-sufficiency services, legal referrals, accompaniment and advocacy, emergency shelters, transitional housing right here in Grover Beach, and group therapy. We also work with every high school in the county on prevention services. I'm not going to read all of the stuff that you just read, but I really appreciate coming here every year in October to accept this proclamation. We're the Lumen Alliance is doing great work in the community, and thank you so much for your support.
We thank you very much as well. If you wouldn't mind coming forward for a photo. Now we'll move on to one of my favorites, the Proclamation for Red Ribbon Week. This will be accepted by Commander Aceves, and I've asked Mayor Pro Tem to read this for us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Proclamation of the City of Grover Beach declaring the week of October 23rd through October 31st, 2024 as Red Ribbon Week. Whereas tobacco, alcohol, and other drug use and abuse represents a serious public health and safety threat to our city, our country, California, and throughout the United States. And this is important for communities, schools, and individuals through San Luis Obispo to work together to eliminate the demand for these substances and to promote programs that support commitment to a healthy, drug-free lifestyle. And whereas the Red Ribbon Celebration will be observed across the United States during Red Ribbon Week, October 23rd through 31st, 2024. And whereas parents, youth, government, business, law enforcement, school, religion, institutions, service organizations, social services, health services, media, and the general public will demonstrate their commitment to drug-free communities by wearing and displaying red ribbons during this observance. And whereas Red Ribbon Week highlights local substance abuse prevention programs and involves youth and parents yearly through local community collaborations and numerous countywide organizations, and also recognizes this year's theme, Life is a Movie, Film Drug-Free. And whereas the City of Grover Beach further commits resources to help the success of the Red Ribbon Celebration and year-round tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention efforts to support healthy, drug-free kids. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City of Grover Beach does hereby proclaim October 23rd through October 31st, 2024, as Red Ribbon Week, and encourages all citizens to participate in tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention activities, making a visible commitment to healthy communities in which to raise a generation of drug-free youth, and encourages all community members to follow the Red Ribbon Pledge, no use of illegal drugs and no illegal use of legal drugs. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Commander.
Thank you. This is such a great program, one that I remember participating in when I was in elementary school, so it's a wonderful time where we can reconnect and continue our commitment to our community and the children of today. So thank you.
Thank you. Would you care to come forward?
Thank you. at the YWCA.
It certainly was.
I have to say that the Red Ribbon Week proclamation for many years has been one that people are kind of concerned about being asked to read, and Robert did a wonderful job. Oh, goodness. Okay, thank you so much. Now we'll move on then to our last proclamation, which is National Apprentice Week. This will be accepted by Diana Marin from the Workforce Development Board and Mark Simonian from IBEW. I've asked Councilmember Rushing if he would please read this for us.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure tonight to read this proclamation of the Grover Beach City Council declaring the week of November 17th through November 24th, 2024, as National Apprenticeship Week. Whereas the Workforce Development Board of San Luis Obispo County, Central Coast Construction Trades, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 639, and Pipe Trades Union, UA Local 403 have partnered to expand apprenticeship opportunities and head of household jobs in the construction trades in San Luis Obispo County. And whereas advancement and well-being of Grover Beach, San Luis Obispo County, State of California, and the United States of America depends on the continued development of a skilled and trained workforce in the building and construction trades. And whereas an ever-growing number of job creators and career seekers are discovering the benefits of apprenticeships, unique learn while you earn model. And whereas the City of Grover Beach recognizes that robust apprenticeship programs provide tangible value to both job creators and apprentices with the potential to increase productivity, improve diversity and inclusion, and reduce recruitment and training costs while providing a pathway to prosperous, high-wage, middle-class careers for job seekers. Whereas National Apprenticeship Week, which is celebrating its 10th anniversary of raising awareness of the vital role apprenticeships provide in creating a quality and highly skilled workforce in the building and construction trades in Grover Beach, the County of San Luis Obispo, and across the nation. And whereas in recognition of National Apprenticeship Week, the Workforce Development Board of San Luis Obispo County, the Central Coast Construction Trades, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 639, and the Pipe Trades UA Local 403 are hosting an apprenticeship forum and job fair on Thursday, October 24th from noon to 3 p.m. at the IBEW Hall located at 6363 Edna Valley Road in San Luis Obispo. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the City of Grover Beach City Council does hereby officially recognize National Apprenticeship Week from November 17th to the 23rd, 2024, in Grover Beach, and encourages the community to participate in the local apprenticeship forum and job fair.
Thank you. So, would you care to come forward and...
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor Bright and council members. My name is Diana Maroon. I'm here on behalf of the Workforce Development Board to accept this proclamation and share a few words. It sounded like, though, Council Member Rushing, you stole my thunder. You basically said everything that I'm going to stand up here and reiterate to everyone.
I just try to read what's on the proclamation.
Well,
I apologize for stealing
really
your thunder.
Job,
I do.
Because you stole all my notes, and now I'm going to just have to repeat everything that you said. Basically, on behalf of the Workforce Development Board, we'd like to take a moment and just bring some light to what apprenticeship is. It's just what you said. It's an earn and learn model that provides individuals a viable career that pays a livable wage. And it's really a fantastic opportunity for local residents because, as we know, it's very expensive to live here. And oftentimes folks can't leave a job to return to training and get into a higher quality job. And apprenticeship offers that opportunity from the beginning. Many of the jobs in San Luis Obispo County are not high wage jobs. They're also not high skilled jobs. And apprenticeship offers the opportunity for someone to start with a wage, progress through their skills and also their wages at the same time, landing ultimately in a high wage position in a very short amount of time with no debt. So I will just give you some numbers on what the data says in SLO County about our jobs, as well as what it says about construction jobs in particular. Wages on average in San Luis Obispo County are 32% less than the statewide average, and 17% less than the national average. That's concerning because we know that it's more expensive to live here. 57% of workers in San Luis Obispo County are employed in low-wage jobs. However, 77% of construction jobs pay more than the county's average median wage. So that just highlights how much of a benefit it is to enter these jobs for our local community members. The median wage for local construction jobs exceeds the county's living wage by 38%. So we really highly encourage anyone who is in the position where they're advising someone or even considering a career themselves to consider the trades and apprenticeships specifically. I was just speaking with Mark before the meeting, and he was saying that there will be work for a whole generation to come. As we know, there are many projects, you know, underway with many bills on the ballots, as well as the wind energy that's right around the corner. So these are all things to consider. I'd like to formally invite you once again to this event that's taking place on Thursday, next Thursday, the 24th, at the IBEW Hall in San Luis Obispo. It's a really good opportunity to get to speak to the folks in the trades and hear from apprentices about that experience. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Will you come forward for a photo?
Oh, I have flyers. I'm going to put them here in the back if you want to learn more about the
All righty then. Thank you all. We'll move on now to the presentation portion of the meeting, and we're going to have an introduction of our new employees.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council members. We're always pleased to be able to introduce new city employees who are serving our community in Grover Beach, and we have three new employees to introduce this evening. I'll have each of the department directors take a moment and introduce them, starting off with our Assistant City Manager, Kristen Erickson.
Thank you, Matt and Council. I'm here tonight to introduce our new HR officer, Kelly Blackburn, who's right back there. Kelly's been with us for just about a month now, and she is a Central Coast native, and she also has a bachelor's in organizational leadership, as well as a master's degree in organizational performance. She also has 15 years of experience in HR, both in the public and private sector experience. And Kelly also has she serves on several HR associations and boards and has her SHRM CP certification. She's already come to us with a lot of new great ideas, and we're excited for you to meet her this evening. Kelly Blackburn.
Welcome.
Our next new employee will be introduced by Commander Aceves.
Hello once again. So this young man is Cameron Day. He joined our team as an intern in February of 2023. At the time, he was pursuing a bachelor's degree at CSU Long Beach, a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. And as he was aiming for a career in law enforcement, Cameron quickly embraced the supportive community of Grover Beach, and he became a full-time community services technician in June of 2023. Cameron is a dedicated individual, and he consistently strives to improve himself and the community. And his hard work and commitment don't go unnoticed. We're happy to announce he will be going into the Police Academy in January of 2025. So he is not a new employee, but he is will be a new officer. So Cameron Day.
Terrific. Thank you.
Thank you. And our third new employee, and actually this is not a new employee, but a newly promoted employee, will be introduced by Administrative Services Director Nick Sommet.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the Council. I wanted to take the opportunity to introduce Mike Flores, our new finance manager, promoted from Caltech 3. Mike has been heavily involved in all matters financial with Grover Beach since 2022. He's really stepped into the role. He's right now assisting with our audit. Mike's background, he has worked at the County of SLO, City of Chico, and in the California State Prison System. He has a bachelor's degree in accounting from the University of Southern New Hampshire. So we're very fortunate to have him here.
Thank you. Okay, well, thank you very much for that. We'll move on now to our first public communications portion of the meeting. During this time, Council will allow public communication with additional communication, if necessary, allowed after regular business items. Any member of the public may address the Council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this Council. The Council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the Council cannot act on items not on the agenda. So this public comment period will allow up to 15 minutes. If we have more than 15 minutes or more than five people, additional communications will be allowed after the regular business items. Okay, I have three public public comment forms here. Leslie Marr.
Good evening, council members. I want to address consent agenda item number 8. The appointment of the HCL to handle the cannabis tax.
Can you hold that until we come to the consent agenda public comment?
I put number 8 on there, didn't I? Oh.
No, it just says general public comment. Okay, thank you. We'll put you for number 8. Thank you. Helen Jacobson.
Hello.
Hello.
Everybody's been so positive, I hate to kind of be. But at any rate, if I could give these to the council members, it's kind of a picture's worth a thousand words. We play tennis at Hero Park 3 days a week, a bunch of us old people, and we have had a heck of a time with dog problems on the court.
You might want to, once you hand these out, if you would speak into the microphone, just so everyone can hear you. Thank you.
Dog feces, they urinate on the tennis net and on the fencing side of it. And, you know, once the dog does that, every dog will do it. And just a constant having to try and clean up after people's dogs. We don't really understand why they have to put them on the tennis court. But the saddest one is the first picture. Most people do not realize the surface of a tennis court is very abrasive. And the dogs will run on there, and then they will leave bloody footprints. And at one time, I've talked to Larry Kim about this, and, you know, he's just said I should maybe come and speak to you guys. But the bottom line is that it was so bad one time on the court that the blood was actually coagulating. That's how bad the dogs' feet were bleeding. And I can't believe that a dog owner doesn't see that when they're on the tennis court. So first I offered to buy a camera so that we could see the court, and then somebody mentioned to me, justifiably, that somebody's got to monitor that camera. Okay, so then I said, well, is there a fine that's associated with putting dogs on the court? And if there is a fine for that, then maybe, because my little thing here, I'll sit one over here for people to see, is a little too graphic for most people and probably not politically correct at all. But it's truth, okay? So at any rate, I ask that maybe if there is a fine for putting your dog on the court and doing damage to the court, or the same thing, I guess, would be as leaving trash, then maybe we could put a sign on the tennis court gate that just says there's a fine for putting dogs on the court, and maybe that would help stop this. But we're becoming very frustrated with the constant round of problems. And of course, if I see somebody on the court, I'm kind of outspoken, I stop, and I tell them, you know, this is what's going on here. Well, it's not my dog. It's never their dog. And so I'm really frustrated with this. And if we could do something maybe like a sign with a penalty, if there is a penalty, I would just really, really, really appreciate it. Thank you for your
Thank
time.
Thank you. And did you say that's Hero Park?
Hero Park.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Nancy Allison?
Good evening, Mayor and Council and staff. I just wanted to read an article that was in the San Luis Obispo Tribune on October 6th, and it's their editorial, "Should Grover Beach City Council Member Dan Rushing Be Recalled?" A fight over water rates in the city of Grover Beach has spiraled so ridiculously out of control that one of the city's most competent and conscientious members of the city council is facing a recall measure on the November ballot. Dan Rushing, who represents District 2, voted last December to raise water rates to help pay for the city's share of Central Coast Blue, a regional water reclamation project that would have piped wastewater treated in Pismo Beach to Grover, where it would have been used to recharge the groundwater basin. Mayor Karen Bright and Council Member Zach Zimmerman also voted in favor of the higher rates, and they too were initially targeted for recall. Ironically, even after the city dropped out of Central Coast Blue on account of skyrocketing costs and lowered water rates, many citizens still weren't happy. Grover H2O, a group of residents shepherded by mayoral candidate Debbie Peterson, went ahead with the recall against Rushing, who has two more years left in his turn. Bright and Zimmerman, whose terms expire at the end of the year, are not seeking re-election. This is nothing more than an attempt to bully a council member who followed his conscience and did what he thought was best for both current and future residents of Grover Beach. As Rushing explained during a December council meeting, without last year's miracle rains, projections showed that the city faced the prospect of having its allotment of Lopez Lake water, 800 acre feet, reduced by 35%. "This is what had me up at night," he said then. There you have it. Here's a council member who loses sleep worrying about the welfare of his city, and now he's in danger of being tossed out of office. That's just cruel. It's also short-sighted. The council needs a Dan Rushing who has the good sense to recognize that the city cannot afford to sit back and do nothing when it comes to planning for the future in a state where drought is given. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Please, no applause, if you wouldn't mind. Have we anyone on the line?
No, we have no one on the line.
Okay, very good. All right, then. Yes, sir. Please come forward.
Sorry, it took the long way.
No matter.
How are you guys doing? I'm Randall Myrick. I live here in Grover Beach. I kind of got mixed up what I really wanted to say. That young lady just spoke, she forgot to put the dollar amount on all that, and how everything climbs, anything you guys do in Grover Beach seems to go over cost. And did you know both of those buildings going on 4th and Grand are on old gas station, where a gas station used to be? That's probably why the one's leaning. But we're going to have a water problem because you're doubling the population and you're added all these buildings. In the past, we put a moratorium on building. They drew a ticket because I had to build houses, and when they drew my ticket, it was my turn to build because we had a shortage of water. The sewer, nothing's going to handle all this, what you guys are doing, and you're allowing all of it going on at one time. And the guy said, his spokesperson said, it was the easiest city to get anything approved in. That goes, you know, what's going on? Are they giving you guys money or something, Matt? Or, I mean, he needs to go. Or quit listening to him, or do something about him. But it's your responsibility, not his, if he's smarter than you and you guys are just saying yes, 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 yes. Second of all, did you get the pictures in the letter I wrote you guys? Okay, what's going on? Why was somebody going through my septic tank sewer line when he said he was there to look at the water meter? Now, he's invading on my property. He didn't know I was there. I was snaking it out. What was the public works guy doing there? Matt, maybe he can answer that because he's the boss. The guy lied to me, sit there and lied to me. Right? I taped the whole thing, say he was there to look at the water meter. You want people employees lying to people? That I come up here, I can't even be happy because all I do is get lied to. Now, he needs to go. Or you guys need to go. I don't know. But somebody needs to get a backbone and start doing something about this. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, please.
Jim Joffe, South Grover Beach. I want to talk about maybe some unhappy corruption, sleaze, and lies in a California beach town. We are in the midst of an unprecedented election season that has led to accusations of corruption, sleaze, and lies on a national and state level. Unfortunately, this same behavior may have trickled down to the local level here in Grover Beach. Everybody is aware of the newly formed committee, Grover H2O, that promotes chaos and deception under the guise of lowering the cost of water distribution to the hardworking residents of Grover Beach. Keeping that in mind, I did a public record request of all the registered businesses in Grover Beach and of all the residents that are enrolled in the CAP program. For those not familiar with the CAP program, it stands for Customer Assistance Program, that the city provides a generous 20% off your water and 20% off your sewer portions of your bill. It is fully funded by the city's general fund from our taxpayers' dollars. To qualify, you must meet the low-income criteria set by the CARE program, which is the California Alternate Rates for Energy, which gives you a discount on your gas and electric and also qualifies you for the city's CAP low-income water discount program. I found some interesting anomalies in my public records request when I cross-referenced addresses enrolled in the CAP program that also had business license at the same address. One address stood out in particular, 160 South 3rd Street, owned by none other than Debbie Peterson. This address has a business listed as a Peterson Team Realty and a VRBO short-term rental with 3 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, and sleeps up to 10 people and rents for up to $517 per night, and it's booked a majority of time. Can you imagine how much water can be consumed by 10 people using 3 bathrooms? Can you imagine that Debbie Peterson gets a discount intended for low-income residents on water that she doesn't even use herself? Can you imagine she claims low income when she owns 2 businesses, has 4 books for sale on Amazon, and property in California and Hawaii worth almost $2 million? Can you imagine Debbie Peterson claims low income when she has enough discretionary funds to donate at least $3,000 to contribute to hers and Grover H2O campaigns? The word hypocrisy doesn't even come close to describing this corrupt and sleazy behavior. I urge the city council and staff to look further into scrutinizing these eligible for the CAP program. Thank you.
Thank you. That will end our first public communications portion, and we will now move on to the consent agenda. The following routine items listed on the consent portion of the agenda are scheduled for consideration as a group. I'll now open up public comment for the items. Let me read them for anyone who may not have an agenda in front of them. The minutes of the City Council meeting on Monday, September 23rd, 2024. Resolution to accept the 2024 Byrne Discretionary Community Project Grant Award for Police Technology Projects. Approve a contract with HDL, Inc. for cannabis auditing services. And the last item, 9, revision of resolution for 2024 California Department of Housing and Community Development Block Grant applications. Leslie Marr, if you'd care to come forward with item 8.
Sorry about that confusion. I guess I hit the wrong box.
No matter.
Good evening. I want to address the consent agenda item that reappoints HDL to handle cannabis tax auditing. This raises several concerns. HDL has been involved with the city in multiple ways. They're not just doing the cannabis tax audits. They helped design the rating system that decided which dispensaries would get licenses in the first place. Essentially, they played a major role in determining who entered the market, and now they are responsible for auditing those same businesses. That's an enormous amount of control in the hands of a single company. To my knowledge, the cannabis ordinance initially required that businesses use software linked with the city for tax reporting, but it's unclear if this is actually happening. If it isn't, why not? HDL's role in setting the rules and now overseeing the financial reporting of these businesses seems like a conflict of interest. Let's talk about the numbers. HDL is charging $133,000 annually to audit just 10 cannabis companies. Simple math makes that $13,300 per company, not including travel costs. This industry is struggling, with tax revenues down to half of what they once were and significant black market activity due to the high taxes. This also creates public safety concerns, such as the risk of fentanyl contamination, which has claimed lives in our community. Are these audit costs justified? Furthermore, is there legislation that allows us to pass these audit costs onto the businesses? And while additional consulting work for HDL is allowed, is there any cap on these services or any clear budget allocations? This lack of oversight is worrisome. I urge the council to take a closer look at HDL's role and its impact on both the city and the cannabis industry. Thank you.
Thank you. Debbie Peterson on item 8.
Hello, I'm Debbie Peterson. I live at 160 South 3rd Street in Grover Beach. And I have a couple of questions also on this item. I know at some point in history, HDL has taxed has handled other tax measures in Grover Beach. And I'm just wondering if they're doing any other work for the city and if we can quantify the cost of that. Also wanted to talk a little bit about the impact to businesses of audits. Our cannabis code requires that the cannabis businesses have a CPA audit every year that is to go to the police department or their designee. And now we're also asking them for a second annual audit, the cost of which averaged out would be $13,000. And I'm a little bit concerned about levying those kinds of costs on local businesses. I'm also concerned about the issues that arise when we state in our code that the software must connect or be approved by the police department, and also that there must be software that looks at sales transactions and is connects with the city's software. Just because I'm not sure that's actually happening, and I'm wondering if we are in code compliance. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll get to these answers when we're done with the agenda items. So I have one last speaker, and it's Debbie Peterson for item 10. Oh, wait, no, never mind. That's regular business. Excuse me. Okay, so that ends the speaker slips for the consent agenda. Can I ask either our city manager or our city attorney to address the conflict of interest question, passing the cost on to the business, and if there's a cap of charges?
Sure, I can speak to the general issues about HDL, and then maybe Mr. Zahmet, if need be, can augment that. So HDL, it has been our current auditor. We've been auditing cannabis businesses from the very beginning of allowing the industry back in 2017. And yes, it is correct that HDL was our consultant advisor in crafting the original ordinances, but at the end of the day, the city council set the ordinance, adopted the ordinance, approved the rules. The city council back in 2017 was the one that adopted the cannabis ordinance. HDL was an advisor assisting us, but ultimately they were simply a consultant helping us in that process. They have been doing the audit process since that time period. This is nothing new. We've been auditing the businesses each year in the interest of transparency, since there are concerns that have been raised by some regarding cannabis businesses. Having the outside audits provides a level of transparency and oversight that we believe is prudent in our interest of having a safe and responsible cannabis industry in our community. So HDL has been doing this work for many years. We did an RFP process back in the summertime. That was an open, extensive, broad process, and 9 different firms proposed for the work, as mentioned in the staff report. We narrowed down to a couple different firms that really were best suited for the kind of work that we're envisioning, and HDL was the firm that our staff team did recommend to go forward. The costs are borne by the industry. They have been borne by the industry the last several years, and this is a way to make sure that taxpayers aren't paying for the business costs that the businesses themselves are paying for. The inspection services that we receive with them are fairly minimal. We do a quarterly inspection that is staff-driven, staff-led. HDL assists in providing additional information as part of that. They're not driving the inspection process. They're just augmenting the role of staff in doing so. I will add that every year or two, we do bring an update of our cannabis ordinance to the council to take a look at new practices, changes in state law, in the interest of trying to make sure that we are contemporary and up to date. And it's been now 2 years since we've done that. We are planning to bring that back to the council this coming spring. So that'd be an opportunity to take a look at the requirements, take a look at the software requirements, other conditions, and see if we want to make any changes in how the industry operates overall.
Thank you. So then, would you consider this audit to be a duplicate service of what is already being?
No.
Okay. Thank
you. And there is no conflict, and HDL is not doing any other work with the city. This is a body of work that they've simply been doing. We work with other firms on different financial aspects.
Thank you. And then regarding the software, is that up and running?
It's a question of what software we're talking about. There is some software that relates to the cameras and security measures. I don't have all the details about additional software packages, but that's something we could bring back to the council as part of the update that we'll bring to you next spring.
Okay. Thank you very much. So then also, when the ordinance was written, or PD was heavily involved in that as well.
Heavily involved. Correct. We had a staff team of police department, community development department, city attorney, city management, fire department, and ultimately the council was the body that adopted the ordinance in the end.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Did that raise any questions for council? Okay, very good. All right then, so we are now looking to, if I might have a motion on the consent agenda and a second, please. Now we're talking at this point 6 through 9.
I'll go ahead and make the motion to approve consent agenda.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Rushing.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert.
Yes.
Councilmember Weirich.
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Yes.
Mayor Bright.
Yes, thank you very much. Okay, now we'll move on to regular business item 10, the economic development update. Hello.
Good evening. Megan Martin. This a little closer. Megan Martin, Community Development Director. I'm joined this evening by Jeff Chambers, CEO of the South County Chambers of Commerce, and Senior Director of Business Solutions, Jeff Buckingham with Astound Broadband, who both will provide valuable insights following my presentation on our collaboration and economic growth initiatives. As your council's aware, your council's made economic development and community promotion a key goal for fiscal years 2023 to 2025. Our efforts focus on several critical areas, including strengthening and maintaining a business-friendly environment, implementing strategies that build upon existing efforts in business retention, focusing on vulnerable sectors and populations, pursuing business attraction and commercial development, especially on West Grand Avenue, and expediting our permitting process, as well as promoting tourism and hotel development. Each of these priorities is aimed at fostering economic growth through supporting local businesses and making Grover Beach an attractive place to live, work, and play. To implement these goals, we have adopted an economic development work program. The key critical areas that we are focusing on include business retention and attraction, tourism development, commercial cannabis activities, transoceanic data cables and broadband fiber, as well as permit streamlining and process improvements. Each of these areas represents an opportunity for Grover Beach to strengthen its economy and enhance our position in the region. So I'd like to first recognize the work of the South County Chambers of Commerce in supporting business attraction and retention in Grover Beach. The city has a longstanding and strong partnership with the Chamber, which has numerous programs that support businesses, including operating the launch pad that's located at 391 Front Street. This has been in operation since 2022, and due to the increasing demand and business needs, the launch pad recently expanded into the vacant space that's immediately adjacent to its existing lease space. In addition to its partnership with the chambers, the city also actively searches for funding and investment opportunities that would support our local businesses. So staff identified an opportunity to pursue a grant through the Community Development Block Grant, the acronym CDBG up on your screen. This would include a micro enterprise assistance program application in the amount of $1 million, and this would go to serve low to moderate income business owners for eligible activities which your council took action on in the summer of this year, which those tenant improvements might include things related to plumbing, related to energy efficiency improvements, as well as simple facade improvements, for example, signage, to support signage for the new business. Circling back on the city's investment in its local businesses, along with the Buy Local program, the city has a long history of providing funding to support local businesses, including grants to address COVID impacts. This money has allowed businesses to install outdoor seating, signage, and facade improvements through the America Rescue Plan Act, also known as ARPA. So those grant funds, which were awarded to select businesses, helped to provide for outdoor seating so that restaurants could stay open, signage to better advertise and market their business during COVID, as well as different facade improvements of select businesses. Moving to our current Buy Local program, Grover continues to look to promote businesses during the construction that's occurring along West Grand Avenue. And so as you've probably seen from about 4th Street all the way up through close to 10th, we've been under construction and our public works team is working hard, but the businesses have been impacted. And so similar to the ARPA grant funding, as well as our previous Buy Local funding programs, the city is in partnership with South County Chambers once again. We've contributed about $15,000 into the program to support those businesses, $25 gift cards for every $100 in receipts that are spent. And what we found is that of over 300 receipts, a total of $60,000 has been spent. And so based on the city's investment, that's a 5-to-1 return, which we're very excited about. It shows how effective the program is at driving spending at our local businesses. And I would also like to mention, based on the success of that Buy Local program, the city is going to continue to invest in a similar way through what's known as the West End Business Bingo Game. This will begin in November and further encourage patronage at businesses impacted by the construction. More details from the city will be heard in October, and as I mentioned, that will begin in November. Part of strengthening the city's economic environment is providing the space for businesses to thrive. So since 2023, the Planning Commission has approved 3 new 4-story mixed-use projects and 153-unit 100% affordable housing development through People's Self-Help Housing and the Housing Authority of San Luis Obispo. That's at 1206 West Grand. The mixed-use developments will result in a total of 119 new residential units, 12,000 square feet of commercial lease space, as well as outdoor public seating and rooftop access. The addition of the commercial space presents a particularly exciting opportunity and is designed to accommodate the expansion of our existing businesses, such as restaurants and retail establishments. These spaces could offer them room to grow within the city rather than seeking opportunities elsewhere. The new space could also serve as a key asset for attracting new businesses to Grover Beach, providing versatile locations that can meet the needs of the diverse industries that we're looking to bring here. Next on our list is tourism development. To promote tourism in Grover Beach, the city is contracted with Verdin Marketing. It's part of the city-funded Visit Grover Beach Marketing Initiative. The intent is to boost tourism through branding and marketing efforts. And what we've found, based on the data collected from our social media platforms with the help of Verdin, is that we have an almost 10,000% increase in followers to the Visit Grover Beach social media platforms. This increase in tourism is evident, specifically as it relates to our transit-oriented tax development, occupancy tax revenue, which is approximately $953,000 for fiscal year 23-24. So that not only includes hotels, motels within the city, but it also includes our short-term vacation rentals. The city continues to collaborate with our regional partners like Visit SloCal and the Regional Economic Action Coalition, also known as REACH. Their purpose is to attract industries and investments that complement the local tourism economy. I'm currently looking into whether or not there might be some grant opportunities through a program called Uplift, hoping to further support our businesses and attract business investment into Grover. More to come on that once we have some direction. Obviously, the city's tourism marketing efforts align with the new hotel developments at 950 El Camino Real and 1598 El Camino Real. This will expand lodging options for visitors as well as contribute to the local to our local TOT revenue. The city anticipates that the hotel at 950 El Camino will begin hosting guests in summer of 2025. The proposed hotel at 1598 El Camino Real is currently in the permit review process, and we can't forget the Grover Beach Lodge, our gem. It is under permit review at State Parks, and the city continues to partner with California State Parks as part of the JPA. For the last update that I received, the applicant's design team is working on the plan revisions that the state had already provided to them. Shifting from hotels to cannabis, Grover Beach continues to be a leader in San Luis Obispo County for promoting and regulating commercial cannabis in a safe and responsible way. We have a very forward-thinking approach. It's fostered a thriving cannabis industry and has contributed to our local economic development. On your screen right now is just a few of the businesses that we currently support. We have 9 cannabis businesses currently operating. Those generate jobs, those generate tax revenue, and it helps support our city services and our city projects. The city has averaged approximately $1.6 million in annual cannabis tax revenue since fiscal year 2019-2020. So the two tables that you see up on your screen, the one on the left-hand side, is going to be the tax rate dependent on the cannabis business type. And the table to the right is the fiscal year and the tax revenue that the city has collected. And I will admit the cannabis industry continues to be an important source of general tax revenue for the city. However, the market and regulatory challenges faced by the industry continue to be a challenge. But it contributes significantly to our public services, our infrastructure, and our overall economic health. We continue to have it as part of our work program to support these businesses and identify industry trends to keep them moving forward. Grover Beach is at the heart of global traffic on the Central Coast. This investment and partnership has positioned the city as an attractive location for data centers and tech companies looking to locate in proximity to critical high-capacity and large-scale data transfer infrastructure. related to high-speed data is the continued build-out of Astound's citywide broadband network. Following the council's approval of a license agreement with Astound in March 2022. They've been installing, broadband fiber has been installed in the city since 2017, and this was part of a public-private partnership with the city, which enables Grover Beach to be the first gigabit city on the Central Coast, which is very exciting. And so a little bit of data provided for you here, and again, I will ask Mr. Buckingham to provide even more insightful information following my presentation. But Astound, formerly known as Digital West, has seen the installation for homes passed over 5,000. That's 515 customers, and we anticipate just over 200 more by December of 2024. And this is a map that was provided by Astound, and it shows those connections that I just mentioned in my previous slide. In 2023, the city contracted with Tyler Technologies. This is a software company specifically focused on permitting and licensing software for municipalities. So we've contracted with Tyler Technologies to implement a new permitting software. It's known as Enterprise Permitting and Licensing, commonly referred to the acronym of EPL. This is a strategic investment for us. It will significantly upgrade our specifically, the Community Development Department's permitting process. EPL streamlines application submissions. The review allows for more intimate collaboration between departments as well as outside agencies. And the hope is that it continues to expedite our permitting process. Staff is also hopeful that this alignment between technology and economic development will position Grover Beach as a leader in efficient permitting practices. Wanted to also provide a quick update for you all on the development code amendments and our process improvements. As you may remember, your council approved these development code amendments on September 9th, 2024. These changes look to clarify requirements, reduce redundancies, and streamline certain project approvals. We've submitted the ADU ordinance changes to the Housing and Community Development Department, known as HCD, for approval. Once we receive that approval, it will be forwarded to Coastal Commission, and their review and approval will make those changes affected. I also wanted to give everyone a sneak peek of that EPL system. Your top left screen is going to be the citizen access portal. Again, more user-friendly, more easily navigable, and we're hoping again that this provides a clear way for folks to submit their applications and to begin communication with the city instead of needing to go through email and possibly be put on hold for up to 24 hours. The bottom left screen is the back-end interface, the hub for planners as well as our building consultants. It gives you a much more user-friendly interface to see exactly what timelines are coming up, how many plans you currently have in review, and what additional tasks may have been assigned to you while you were away. Better communication and more transparency between staff as well as the applicants. The left-hand screen shows you the diagram on the rightmost side. The circle shows where your permit is in the process. So at any point in time, you as an applicant can go online, type in the address, and type in your permit number, your address, and see where staff is and what the next step is going to be. We're really excited about it, if you can't tell. That concludes my presentation. If you have any questions, I'm available. And once again, we've invited, and they are here this evening, Jeff Chambers, CEO of South County Chambers, as well as Jeff Buckingham, Business Solutions Director.
Very good. Thank you. How about if we just hold the questions until we've heard from the gentleman? Mr. Chambers, would you care to come forward?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. So Megan stole most of my thunder with giving you all of the results. I'll see what I can update or supplement with, but pleasure to be here. Jeff Chambers, CEO, South County Chambers of Commerce. Since the program launched on June 25th, there has been a remarkable engagement from the community. So we've been doing the program for 112 days now, and consumers have spent over $62,000. With 326 submissions that came in, obviously the information that I provided to Megan last week to get into your board packets is updated. So the program has facilitated 632 purchase transactions at local businesses. We also saw an impressive participation with the gift card initiative. So with the gift cards, 20 food and beverage and retail businesses in the target area each received a $500 check, and they provided the $25 gift cards. We went to everybody. There was a couple of people that didn't want to participate, so but everybody that was in the food and beverage sector or full retail sector were invited to participate. There are 83 local businesses in your target area, which is from Highway 1 to 10th Street between Ramona and Rockaway. And all 83 local businesses have benefited from the Buy Local. We're down to about 25 gift cards that are remaining. So if anybody out there in the World Wide Web or here tonight, get your receipt submitted because the program will be ending. And the next phase for you folks is going to be supporting through the bingo, West End Bingo, starting in November. The results just highlight the power of community support and local spending and your commitment to the local businesses to ensure that they strive and to ensure that customers don't try to avoid the area while we're undergoing this great renovation and with all of the under the streets that we can't see. I'm sure it's beautiful, Matt. and everything that we're going to see when it's done. But your ROI was, as Megan mentioned, 5-1, which is considerably greater than the previous iterations of the Buy Local program, where it hovered around 3-1. So kudos to your executive team for their collaboration as we tried to figure out how we were going to elevate that this year. And I think that the numbers speak for themselves. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer. Otherwise, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate you taking the time to be here. Mr. Buckingham.
Hi.
Hi.
Jeff Buckingham from Stone Business Solutions, and it's good to be here tonight. I wonder, I was going to ask for that map to go put back up. And I just think it's kind of nice to take a look at that map, because a couple of years ago, that wasn't there. And so, this is really something. This is, a number of years ago, the city of Grover Beach took kind of a gamble partnering with a local company named Digital West to work together on a partnership that eventually grew into this. And, when we first joined forces with Astound, the reason that we did that was we wanted to be able to bring millions of dollars in funding into the Central Coast to build broadband, which we as a small company recognized we were not able to do on our own. When we got together with Astound, the first question was, all right, we want to really make an impact here. We want to go build out a city. Where do we go first? Well, it was clear through this long-term relationship that we've had, the ability to work together, Grover Beach was the place to go. And so there was no real discussion about it at Astound other than, okay, great, check that off. Let's go build out Grover Beach. And I still remember it was so fun to go into Matt Bronson's office that day and just say, hey, guess what? We'll build out your entire city. And at this point, we've just got a few small areas that we haven't been able to get into yet that we're filling in with underground construction. And in addition to that, we're also building a cable landing station, which has currently landed one cable and has a capability to land five more into that facility. And so all of that benefit is there. And I think we have a lot of really good opportunities to work together in the future, promoting Grover Beach as, the connected community on the Central Coast. And I hope we can really do that. I look look forward to doing that. You know, I think we all appreciate how well we've been able to work together. I think we've had a lot of fun doing this. And, you know, it's exciting. I want to recognize Juan Carlos Herrera. Juan Carlos is the one who has gone out and literally called on just about every resident of Grover Beach. And, you know, building it is difficult. In some ways, it's almost the easy part. As you noticed, you know, we're passing over 5,000 homes. We've got about 500 customers. So we still got a long way to go, even though it's a more advanced service. There's a lot of a lack of understanding among the general public about what the capabilities are of fiber optics. Even though the price is lower than the other alternatives, there are other alternatives out there, and not everybody understands all the benefits that are there. And I think so we have a lot of room to grow into that, and for us to grow as Sound as a company, but also to really promote Grover Beach, because so many other cities would love to be in the position that Grover Beach is in as far as connectivity. You know, most city council and city manager to-do lists is, how in the heck do we get broadband to our city? And literally in Grover Beach's case, we can check that off. So, yeah, open for any questions that you have, and just appreciate the opportunity we've had to work together.
Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate the information. So let's start with questions. Anybody in particular wants to give us a go? No? No questions?
For me.
For Jeff Chambers, as far as the couple businesses that when it came to the Buy Local program that didn't choose to participate, and obviously, you know, they can't benefit from this partnership if they don't participate. Was there any certain feedback that's just good for us to be aware of as far as why they decided to opt out of it?
Sure. So even though they opted out to not provide the gift cards, it was pretty much because they didn't offer gift cards. It wasn't something that their business offered, but they were included in the purchases, right? So people, residents, or I mean, we've had people as far away as Washington submit Buy Local receipts. So every business, so even out of the 83, that included the 20 that we purchased from. If they didn't have the technology, or it was just not in their business plan to do that, receipts from their businesses still qualified them to get a gift card to return to the target zone and continue to spend.
Oh, okay, so they still benefited, basically.
They still benefited, 100%. Gotcha. They just didn't get a picture with the big check.
Understood. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And then, Megan, just because it does come up all the time as far as my childhood dream of the Grover Beach Lodge that I've been hearing since I was a kid, since every time this gets brought up, I always have to clarify people, could you bring up the official answer as far as who the partners are, who's in charge right now, and kind of where it's at since, and this story hasn't changed in a while, too, but every time this comes up, might as well just re-clarify that.
Absolutely. At the time that the Grover Beach Lodge project was approved, the land use entitlement, the city of Grover Beach had land use authority over that approval. At this point in time, because it's on state parks land, they are a superior agency. Their state marshal and their building, their professionals are responsible and lead agency for the building permit review and process. We, the city of Grover Beach, act in partnership as part of that joint powers association with state parks to ensure that the concessions agreement, which kind of stipulates all of the requirements, who's responsible for what as we go through the review, we work in collaboration with state parks on that concessions agreement.
And then as far as always the, you know, the other developer who's involved too, just since there's the multiple partners involved in this.
Can you repeat the question? Do you mean the applicant?
Yeah, the applicant.
Oh, the applicant. Yes. We work in collaboration with them as well. If there are comments or questions, they can call the city. They can also call state parks.
And just to add to that, it is a private development project.
Yes.
The cities and state parks don't build hotels. Developers do. We permit them. We regulate them. And in this case, as Ms. Martin mentioned, the state Parks Agency is the one that is regulating it. We are a champion, a cheerleader. We do the permitting for all the offsite improvements, but we still generate the TOT revenues when the project will ultimately be built. But it's up to the developer to actually fulfill the development. And as Ms. Martin mentioned, they are working on the revisions that were given to them by State Parks.
So basically, I heard right too that the developer, it's up to them to move the project forward. State Parks, though, is the the lead agency, and then we're secondary too. And so the process goes through that hierarchy, basically.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
To add on to that, is that still Pacifica, the developer?
At this time, yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I have just a couple, if I might. First, regarding the housing and commercial projects that are in the pipeline here, there was a comment earlier concerning the water capacity and sewer capacity. Can you just, as I understand, those projects are within our build-out water and sewer capacity? Can somebody just speak to that? Okay. We're talking about the new development that we have, the four residential projects and the hotel projects. There was a concern earlier regarding not enough water and sewer capacity. Can you just speak to that, please?
Yeah, thank you. So as it relates to water supply and capacity, so the projects that I've described as part of this staff report that showcases our commitment to new commercial development to have a thriving West Central.
Thank you. So those projects that I mentioned as part of the staff report, as well as this presentation, are a part of the city's water portfolio identified in the Water Master Plan. So these projects have been already accounted for as a part of that water portfolio. They also, based on the size, our public works and engineering team requires that an independent outside consultant prepare a water study associated with each of those developments. So we also identify that water demand and are able to then address that supply, balance with the water supply. And same goes for the sewer capacity. As part of every project review for a land use entitlement, our public works department reviews those applications, ensures that we have existing efficiency to support any additional wastewater into our system. Okay. Also, the new storm drain installs along West Grand Avenue, I think, will also help to support these projects.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, those are my questions. Now let's see, we'll open this up to public comment. I have one public speaker slip, Debbie Peterson.
Hello, I'm Debbie Peterson. I live at 160 South 3rd Street. And I'm just wondering, I couldn't really tell from the report whether this buy local program is still going on, and I'm praying that it is, but it sounded like it was out of money, so I was hoping you could clarify that, especially because it'll, as I understand, all the roadworks are going to continue till after Christmas, which will be really hard on those businesses. And one other question, it wasn't noted how many rooms were in the two El Camino Real hotels, and that would be interesting information, just so that we know how many total rooms or total households are being added. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comment? Very good. Oh, please come forward.
Pamela Storton, Grover Beach resident. So my question on these four developments, who is the developer of the developments? And also, is there any, I think we've gone over this a couple of times, any affordable housing in these that are deed, where people can own the units? And thirdly, how many affordable housing units for ownership do we have in Grover Beach currently? Thank you.
Thank you. Any other Public comment. Okay, we'll close public comment and bring this back and see if we can answer some of these questions. So I guess we'll start with the buy local. If you could just clarify that a bit, please.
Absolutely. As mentioned in the presentation, the Buy Local program is still ongoing. There are 25 gift cards remaining. So if you are able to participate, $100 in receipts will provide you with a $25 gift card to participating businesses. The second question was, how many rooms are at each of the new hotel developments? 950 El Camino Real is a 134 hotel room. The 1598 El Camino Real is two separate buildings, and it will be a total of 176 hotel rooms.
Once it's permitted.
Once the permits are issued, correct. Both land use entitlements are approved. Their 950 El Camino Real is under construction. 1598 is under building permit review.
Thank you.
And Mary, actually, to add to that answer regarding the Buy Local program, the first phase is phasing out with these gift cards that are expiring, but we are shifting into a new iteration called the West End Bingo program, which will allow people to go to any of the businesses along West Grand Avenue, including ones that we have not purchased gift cards at because they weren't customer-facing restaurants, retailers, cafes, be able to get a stamp, be able to get a mark, and then submit it to the city, enter into a raffle that we will provide at the end of the process. So it's similar to the Strawberries Through Grover Beach raffle that was done earlier this year, and San Luis Obispo did a similar program with their summer spending. So it's another phase of the Buy Local program, just shifting into a broader phase to include more businesses.
Okay, thank you. And now regarding the developer of the four projects, and then if you could just address some of the affordability aspects, and I don't know if you've come to us with an actual current number of affordable housing units, but if not, maybe we can get that later.
I can provide that at a later time. I don't have that off as part of my notes. As far as the developer for the four developments along West Grand, 1206 West Grand Avenue, the developers are People's Self-Help Housing and the Housing Authority of San Luis Obispo. This is a 100% affordable deed-restricted housing development. So it will only be used for low income residents, only be made available to qualifying low income residents. The other three are currently under construction, and the developers are coastal community builders. And there are no affordable units associated with these. They range in size from studio to three bedroom. And so there's no deed restrictions placed on any of those. As far as, again, how many affordable housing units do we have in Grover Beach, I can return to your council with that information or provide it to our city manager, who can get that to you.
Terrific. Thank you very much. Okay. Any other comments? This is a receive and file, so. Okay, please.
And just when it comes to the whole affordable housing units part, for that kind of information, let's have them clarified about what affordable housing means, because this always gets brought up, especially when I'm talking to residents. The definitions are usually perception versus legal definitions. I think a lot of times if we're talking about affordable housing units that are deed restricted because of the state and federal funding too, I mean, I think those kind of things need to be clarified about what we're talking about. And so if that information does come back to us, if that kind of information could be clarified, what exactly affordable housing means by a legal sense, that would be very helpful too, because like I said, when we use that term very broadly, someone thinks sometimes it's market rate housing, and I'm like, no, that's not what we're talking about. And because of the way the state and federal tax funds work in this, they have a lot of prohibitions within things. And so it'd be good to get clarified what those actual prohibitions mean when it comes to these projects that are done within our city to People's Self-Help Housing, Housing Authority. They probably clarify those parts, since obviously they're the ones who deal with this the most too. But I think that would be very good to have all that dialed down too, because when we're talking about market rate, there's that goes amongst the gamut, but this tends to be a very specific area that would be good to and educate us appropriately too.
Yeah, absolutely. When those developments come forward, those reports typically define and are very, very clear about what is considered affordable and whether or not they are by state law deed restricted to be affordable, but happy to provide you with that at any time.
Thank you. And my other comment is, this is very helpful too, as far as capturing a lot of the different areas going on economic development. I know within city government, it's usually more of a partner side to economic development. It's usually all the businesses themselves are doing the heavy lifting too. But it's good to see where the local government fits within all this too, through these different areas. So thanks for covering all this, Megan.
Any comments? Comments? Well, thank you all very much. I appreciate it. That was an excellent report. I appreciate you gentlemen being here as well, and thank you. Okay. We'll now move on to our last business item, which is item 11, Citizens Initiative to Require the Office of City Clerk to be Elected Position. This will be our City Attorney Lamelli.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I do not have slides this evening, but I will give you a quick synopsis of the citizen initiative to require the Office of the City Clerk to become an elected position. Some background regarding the elected city clerk initiative. On March 14, 2024, the city received a notice of intention to circulate a petition from Grover H2O for a proposed local ballot measure to require the city clerk to be an elected position. After the required publication period, Grover H2O is permitted to circulate petitions to gather signatures that had a six-month time frame for the gathering and submission of the signatures as prescribed under the Elections Code. On September 25, 2024, Grover H2O submitted the petitions for the measure to the city clerk's office, realizing that there was a conflict of interest in having our city clerk, who serves as the city's elections official, validate the signatures. The city reached out to the city of San Luis Obispo and was subsequently able to execute an agreement with the city of San Luis Obispo to have their deputy city clerk validate the signatures at the county clerk recorder's office. Due to the impending election, the ability for the deputy city clerk in San Luis Obispo to conduct the validation process was very constrained, and luckily they were able to get in quite a bit of work in order to be able to validate all of the signatures that were submitted. On October 8, 2024, the City of San Luis Obispo, acting on behalf of the City of Grover Beach, certified that the petitions contain the requisite number of valid signatures as shown in Attachment 1 to the report. To qualify for the ballot, the petition needed to have at least 10% of the registered voters in Grover Beach or 779 signatures. Ultimately, there were 783 valid signatures out of the 912 signatures that were submitted. A little bit about the current city clerk position is currently the Office of City Clerk in the city is an appointed position. It has been an appointed position since the city was incorporated in 1959. It's also a practice that the city shares with all other cities in San Luis Obispo County. Of the 483 cities in California, 338, or approximately 70% of them, have appointed city clerks. The trend over time has been for cities to move towards the appointed city clerk position because this allows them to put requirements on applicants for city clerk regarding training, certifications, and experience. So the proposed changes that are being proposed under the ordinance are that the city clerk would become an elected position. Within 90 days of the adoption of the measure, if approved by voters, the City Council would be required to call a special election to fill the office of City Clerk until the next succeeding general municipal election. The current cost for a city to hold the special election in today's dollars is approximately $300,000. At the next succeeding general municipal election, the election for City Clerk would be for a full four-year term, and it would continue thereafter from that point. The qualifications required under law for an elected city clerk would be that the candidate must be at least 18 years of age, a registered voter of the city, and a resident of the city. So the council this evening can take one of three actions. The first is to adopt the proposed ordinance without alteration, thus changing the city clerk position from appointed to elected. It can also adopt a resolution calling an election to submit the initiative measure to the voters at the next general municipal election on November 3rd, 2026, and direct that the city attorney prepare an impartial analysis of the initiative. This is staff's recommended approach. The third option is to direct city staff to provide a report as specified in Elections Code Section 9212 and direct that the city attorney prepare an impartial analysis. Such a report would then be required to be presented to council within 30 days on or before November 14th, 2024. Upon presentation, council would then have options one and two to consider at that point. An analysis of the timeline would be that the initial vote on the initiative would happen on November 3rd, 2026, unless the city council decided this evening to call for a special election. The special election provision would also kick in thereafter if approved at the November 3rd, 2026 election. The city would then have to hold a special election at the March general election, which would, I believe, occur March 7th of 2027. During that special election, it would essentially be an election for the interim elected city clerk to serve a term until the next general municipal election, at which time the elected city clerk would then continue serving 4 years from that point. In looking at the fiscal impact, there are various fiscal impacts that are difficult to calculate because there's various costs that are associated with holding the elections of the city clerk that you would now have to do every 4 years. There's changes in compensation and benefits that would have to be analyzed by the city regarding an elected city clerk position. There's costs associated with training, professional development. There's also potential costs of having to add staff if an elected city clerk didn't have the requisite qualifications to perform their duties. They would then need to hire deputy city clerks in order to assist in that manner. And then there's also the costs that are associated with the special election in March of 2027, if the initiative were to be approved in November of 2026. So again, the alternatives that council has to consider are adoption of the proposed ordinance without alteration, adopt a resolution calling for the election to be held at the next general municipal election on November 3rd, 2026, and direct the city attorney prepare an impartial analysis, or refer the proposed initiative measure to city staff for a report. Again, staff would recommend that council adopt a resolution calling an election and requesting that the city attorney prepare an impartial analysis.
Thank you.
Also available for any questions that you may have.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions to my right? Nope, to my left.
Just one quick one. How much did it cost the city of Grover to have the city of Slo, or were there costs associated with counting the votes, the signatures submitted, rather?
We still have to wait to receive the final invoice from the city, but at this point, the estimate is approximately $1,000.
Thanks. That's all for me.
Okay. Very good. I don't have any questions at this time, so we'll open up the public hearing, and I have a speaker slip from Leslie Marr.
Good evening, Leslie Marr, Grover resident. So good evening, council and members of the community. And as P.T. Barnum said, there's no such thing as bad publicity. So I'm just going to thank all the prior speakers who keep mentioning Grover H2O and Debbie Peterson for mayor. I'm here to discuss an important opportunity for Grover Beach, the chance for voters to elect their city clerk for 2026. Recently, a sufficient number of residents, 783 to be exact, signed a petition for the Citizens Ballot Initiative. Now the City Council has the three options that were laid out to you by the attorney, where we strongly advocate for the third option, putting this initiative on the ballot. Why put it on the ballot? Cost efficiency. Choosing to put this initiative on the 2026 ballot will save the city from incurring further attorney fees, with the city already facing about $200,000 in election violation costs. This is a fiscally responsible move, just as spending $1,000 to certify those signatures was a fiscally responsible move. Strategic timing. By aligning the initiative with the June 20, 2026 gubernatorial election, we can consolidate voting efforts. This means we avoid the projected $300,000 cost of a standalone special election. It allows for the new city clerk candidate to run alongside the mayor and city and council candidates in November of 2026, further saving on election costs. It increases voter engagement. This approach not only empowers our community, but ensures that all 8,000 voters have a say in the critical decisions. Engaging residents in this process fosters a stronger connection to local government. And just as Guadalupe also elects their city clerk, we would do the same. So time for the candidate to prepare. The proposed timeline allows potential candidates the necessary time to hone their qualifications for their role, leading to a more informed electorate and stronger candidates to work with our current deputy city clerk. The importance of electing a city clerk. Electing the city clerk places decision-making in the hands of the voters. This means the clerk would be accountable to the community rather than the city council or the city manager. Promoting greater transparency and independence, qualities essential for upholding election laws and public trust. This initiative follows a significant court ruling in May of 2024, where the city was found to have obstructed election laws. Electing our clerk represents a step towards accountability and restoring faith in our local government.
Thank you. My last speaker slip is Steve Lieberman.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Steve Lieberman, Grover Beach. It's really unfortunate we got to this point, but before I actually get into my statement, I was hoping maybe staff could or council could clarify this $200,000 legal fee number I keep hearing, because I read something in the Tribune where it was less than half of that. So that's something I'm very curious about. As I've talked to people during this campaign season, I've encouraged them to get out of the fishbowl of Grover Beach and look what other like communities do. Ms. Marr mentioned Guadalupe, but I'm drawing your attention to Measure M24 in Atascadero. Atascadero's had a city treasurer, elected city treasurer since their incorporation in 1979. And they have a ballot measure to eliminate it and make it an appointed responsibility. The staff at the city is hoping that they can assume the added work with existing staff and save about $17,000. But the position isn't accomplishing what the community expects, and there's a ballot measure to potentially eliminate it. So it's really important to look and see what's going on around us. I do believe the city clerk, an elected city clerk, is a huge step backwards for us. But the process is being set in motion, and we'll see what the community decides. But again, definitely want you to be aware of Atascadero. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, please come forward.
Hi, I'm Deborah Guerra. I'm also a resident of 47 years. And it is really strange to me to the fact of the petition, the beginning of stopping the water, because somebody came to my door with a lot of false information. I did come and clarify, and it was false information. So in my opinion, some people maybe signed that to sign that paper not knowing the whole truth. And to hear that it's still going on, it just bothers me. I don't understand it. But the other thing is to... I oppose election for the clerk. I don't find it worth spending our money on. I feel that that should be part of a group, and it's not worth saving any money on. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, seeing none other, I'll close public comment and bring it back to council for comments. And then about eventually a motion.
Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like a chance to actually share some information in regards to some of the numbers that were mentioned.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, that was a question. I'm sorry. The 200,000 election violation
number? Yeah, we don't know where this number comes from. We've identified $94,000 in documented legal fees from January through the end of August for all activities related to Grover H2O. This includes the recall petition review. This includes measure review. This includes litigation. So $94,000 is the amount that we've tallied, and that's a significant amount that taxpayers have paid, but that's nowhere near $200,000. So I would just put that out for the record. Also, the measure, as Mr. Lamelli mentioned, does require a special election. So if the clerk measure does receive approval in November 2026, pending the council's placement on the ballot, by definition, it requires a special election to be held within 90 days. So that is an election that's outside of the general election cycle that the county typically provides. The city would be responsible for providing that ourselves at our cost of taxpayer dollars. Also, I'll note that the city of Guadalupe does have an elected city clerk. I'm reading from their website right now. The clerk's responsibilities include attending all council meetings and recording official meeting minutes. These roles in Guadalupe, Santa Maria also has one, are ceremonial. And in contrast, our city clerk's role has a 5-page list of duties, qualifications, experiences. So just to call out a contrast between some communities that do have an elected city clerk, but it's a very different type of role than the role of the appointed city clerks in other communities.
Thank you. I appreciate that clarification. We can go with questions.
What are the elected city clerks' salary? Do you have a salary for them?
I don't have that information in front of me. For a part-time ceremonial role, it would likely be a stipended position.
Stipend, yeah. Sort of like city council.
Correct.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, sir.
One of the commenters floated the concept of the June election as an option for this. The first time I had heard about that, wanted to see if that was part of the general election cycle and whether or not that was even an option.
No, so because it is a citizen initiative that has been submitted to the city pursuant to the elections code, it has to be held unless council orders a special election, which would need to take place, I believe the time frame is 88 to 120 days. Unless a special election is ordered, it needs to go on the city's general municipal election. And under the Grover Beach Municipal Code, the next general municipal election would not occur until November of 2026. So at that time, it would be considered by the voters. Then pursuant to the ordinance timeframes that are provided within the ordinance, if it's approved, in order to meet those timeframes, then it would need to go on the March ballot.
All right. Thank you for the clarification.
Any other questions before we comment?
I think my questions got answered here.
Okay, very good. So comments, I'll start to my left if there are any.
I think, unfortunately, our path is clear as far as what we're just required to do based on a petition we received. So that's my initial comment.
Okay, thank you.
I don't have any particular comments. I'd be happy to make a motion that we take our second option to put it on the ballot in November.
Okay, thank you. Comments?
Of 26, I believe.
Comments?
Yes, of 26. Not the same.
Okay. Well, I have a comment. I researched other cities in our county, and particularly Atascadero, because they did away with their elected city clerk once their city clerk retired. And the justification here was that it was not only difficult to attract residents interested in the jobs, but also to attract qualified and politically objective candidates in a community the size of Tascadero, which is over 2 times the size of our city. I think that it would be very difficult for us to go forward in this manner when it just doesn't seem to make sense to me. So, anywho, that's my comment on that. And we have a motion. May I have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second, and this is to adopt a resolution calling an election to submit the initiative measure to the voters at the next general municipal election on November 3rd, 2026, and direct the city attorney to prepare an impartial analysis of the initiative. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Rushing?
Yes.
Councilmember Wyrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Robert?
Yes.
Mayor Bright?
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Now we'll move on to our second public communications portion of items that are within the interest of the jurisdiction of the within the jurisdiction of the council and not on the agenda. I don't have any speaker slips. Yes, please.
Mayor and Council, I hope this is appropriate, and if it isn't, you'll let me know. On 5/20/24, I did send an email to Megan.
Would you mind stating your name for the record?
Oh, sorry, Pamela Storton, Grover Beach.
Thank you.
And I did ask, and this is going back to May, how many affordable housing units we had. Currently, people occupied for purchase, someone would own deed restricted in the city. And on 5/20, she said, we are currently gathering this information, and I will provide it to you at a later date. Mm. We're almost 5 months after, and I have not received that information. Could we get that? That was 5/20.
Thank you.
Oh, could we get that by the next meeting, please?
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll request that. Thank you. Any other? Okay, we'll close public comment. So I imagine that you've taken a note to that effect.
Yes, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. All right, then. We're going to move on now to council committee reports. And I'm just going to start from my right.
Sure. I've only had one since the last city council meeting. On Wednesday, October 2nd, I attended the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District's Water Resources Advisory Committee, which goes by short with RICK, the RAC, at its regular meeting. The main item was a presentation on the county's drought planning requirements as set by state law. They'd covered a lot of the different areas and how they follow the guidance. And mainly, they're saying that it's probably going to have legal changes down the future that have more definitive deadlines, you know, for the county government to achieve certain tasks, since the current laws are pretty vague too. So that's what they're expecting. Another one was an update on the rain and reservoir report that they had, asking us to give them feedback on how to make the data more helpful related to the water planning areas too. So a lot of it was just kind of traditional work too. But yeah, other than that, nothing else special from that meeting.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. To my left.
No. Committee reports. I just have a quick one related to the South County Chamber of Commerce, who we heard from earlier. Their next mixer is occurring a week from tomorrow, if my dates are correct. Wednesday the 23rd, right across the street at Epic Entertainment is the October. And then here they're doing a haunted house again, which is always a fun one. So put that on your calendar if you are so inclined.
They did a great job last year.
And I have none this evening. We'll move on now to council communications. And I'll start to my left.
Sure. Just one there as well for me. I will put on people's calendars as well, starting this fourth 1 week from today, the Jazz Jubilee Central Coast 2024. So there are dozens of locations everywhere from SLO to Santa Maria, numerous free events as well. And they're bringing dozens of bands and acts and I think really unique programming to the Central Coast, including some venues here in Grover Beach. So just look into that more if you are interested. It was Jazz Jubilee by the Sea, and they have now gone Jazz Jubilee Central Coast. So look into it accordingly.
Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Just one to report today. I had the honor to participate in Walk to School Day last week at Grover Heights Elementary School. So for the better part of about 45 minutes, I had the option to hand out stickers and pencils and fruit snacks to every student that came in that had walked. And, well, if they rode a bike, we gave it to them, too. And if they said they walked, like, I wasn't going to say no. But it was really amazing to see a lot of families change their schedule in order to participate in this annual event. I want to shout out to SLOCOG for helping put this together again this year. I look forward to seeing a lot more walkers in the future.
Very good. Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
There's a karaoke line dancing every Tuesday night from 6 to 8 at the Grover City Grange. Oh. So if anyone would like to come, it would... That means you karaoke, I think we all know what that is, and line dancing. You don't line dance and karaoke at the same time.
That was my question. All right.
So you can line dance, karaoke, or you can at the same time if you're so inclined to. But there is a $5 donation that helps the Grange, and they have a lot of fun. Thank you.
Yeah, I got a few things. The first one I do want to is a council concurrence request is Big Brothers Big Sisters of San Luis Obispo County. We haven't done for National Mentorship Month, which is in January 2025, a resolution proclamation for that. And they do want to see if our city would be willing to do that. So I do want to request that formally from the rest of the council, since that's only a few months away. So that's the first thing. Now into regular part of what I bring up usually as far as different activities since our last council meeting. And so I did drop by on Wednesday, October 2nd, to the 9th Annual National Coffee with the Cop. It was a partnership between Grover Beach Police Department and California State Parks, their law enforcement branch side, on the end of West Grand Avenue by the beach. And it was interesting because of that location, not only did we have different residents there, but we had just a lot of people who were just walking by there, too. So it was good to see not just the natural partnerships and conversations with state parks there, too, because obviously a lot of people go there. They're like, oh, isn't that Grover Beach? And they're like, actually, it's state park side. So a lot of that was good to see in community building. And more community building, the Five Cities Fire Authority had their fire prevention week open house this Saturday, October 12th, at Station 1, which is the main one in Rio Grande. And, yes, there was a lot of families. There was a huge fire bounce house, which was quite impressive, I will say. I was wondering where they got that because it was perfect for there. And they had a lot of educational information and also a demonstration tiny house that they're able to educate families on different preventative ways to do things and preparedness. And, of course, our local firefighters and fire personnel were showing their apparatus and describing different work that they're doing, also strengthening communities. And then almost to the beginning of our meeting with the Filipino community, the Narvacanian Association of the Central Coast had their sister city dinner on Saturday, September 28th, and the mayor and myself were there. And we've had that sister city relationship with Narvacan in the Philippines for, over 30 years. I mean, it's been going for a while. So in addition to seeing some excellent cultural presentations and performances, it was really cool to hear people who were around since the beginning share the experiences and how that relationship started and how it's going. And Abe Garces, who accepted the resolution for Filipino-American History Month, he was the original president, apparently, of this, too. So it's good to hear how that relationship's been occurring and also how Narvacan's been more modernized over the years, too. And they had some pretty cool pictures.
Can I add something?
Sure.
What also was really cool about that were they do a scholarship program, and they had one of the first scholarship award winners has become very successful here in on the Central Coast and is part of that association as well. It was really cool to see that.
Yeah, and
full circle.
And I had no idea she was that until she said that.
No,
I was like,
either.
Oh, because I've seen her around for years. So I agree, that was really interesting too. And then Lumina Alliance, which actually accepted one of our other proclamations too. It was mentioned during the remarks from Michael Boyer that they have in Grover Beach their transitional housing, and they did. And so last Thursday on October 10th with the chamber and others, including the city manager, others around here too, that there was a ribbon cutting for the expansion of that too. I remember last year Lumina Alliance showed me, and it's a confidential site too, but they showed the original place where they're at too, and this was an expansion of a couple more units too, so that different families and individuals who have to flee from domestic partner, intimate partner violence, who realistically would have ended up homeless, have a place to stay for 6 months, 2 years, supportive services so they get healed, get on their feet again too, then before going to permanent housing too. So it's really good to see that, that work's happening within our city too, which is always a gem. And it was interesting because Homeless Services Oversight Council, that's one of my assignments, that's one of the areas I was always glad that we're able to support through external funding specifically toward that project too. And then the Grover Beach Community Library had last Saturday their final book sale of the year, and always a lot of people of different ages buying their books. And yes, I always get a few. And I always try to be a little tongue in cheek too, as far as how do these improve potential service, on the city. So one of them is next, the road to the good society. That'll be an interesting read. I only got it on Saturday, so I haven't read these yet, too. Next one, how to deal with difficult people. Always, and actually this one has different scenarios, too, that you run through. So it's not just an educational reading, but a practice one. And for those who know me all too well, this is just a natural fit. Your everyday guide to saving money, 365 ways to live cheap. So more ways to bring into public service. Oh, well, apparently Trent Hamm wrote this. And then on Sunday, October 6th was, of course, the Grover City Grange's pancake breakfast. Always good. I was actually there at the beginning, too, because I woke up early, thanks to my dogs. And then on Saturday, September 28th, I did attend the National Alliance of Mental Illness. It goes by short NAMI. Their San Luis Obispo County chapter's Beautiful Minds Walk. This was done every year before, too, to really bring awareness and highlight for people who are living with a mental health challenge, their families, different providers. It got put on hiatus during the pandemic, obviously, so it was good to have it come back and have different people from the sheriff's office also talk about how their different work and our police department participates too in crisis intervention training, working with people with mental health crises during their work too. And so it was good to see NAMI started again, and they even let me do the drawing for the door prizes too, which apparently some people like to win quite a bit. So it was good to see that return. So those are all mine for today.
Thank you very much. That was very entertaining. I had a couple, actually. First, we had coffee with city manager, chief of police, and myself this past Saturday. Had some really good conversations, and it was turned out to be a lovely day. And we'll be having one more in November, and that date is to be determined. I also had to go to the Grover Beach Library. I happen to be a new board member there, but I got 6 inches of books for $3. I mean, it's a bargain and a half. You just can't beat it. And then lastly, I had the opportunity to meet with this new nonprofit called Coastal Housing Resources. Their warehouse is in Oceano. What they do is they provide furniture and household items to families, seniors, veterans, and also domestic abuse survivors for their transition housing, so that people move into a transitional home and it's not empty. There have been stories that I've heard about, like a senior woman, she was moved into transitional housing. She was sleeping on the floor. She didn't have a bed. She could barely pay her rent. So I went there and looked at the furniture there. I would have it in my home. It's amazing. Not only that, but they repurpose this furniture so it doesn't go into the landfills and so on. Anyway, it's a really amazing, another piece in that puzzle that seems to be missing. And they're holding a celebration and kind of an introduction to their nonprofit. And I don't have the date here. Holy Dinah. Goodness gracious. Well, I'll put that out. Maybe we can put it somewhere. It's Coastal Housing Resources. And they're in Oceano, just across the street from where Cal Coast Carpets used to be. Anyway, it's just really amazing. It's truly a win-win. And that's it for me.
Oh, and so can we go back to the request for the proclamation for Big Brothers?
Oh, yes. And then also one other thing I wanted to talk about was the request about the Hero Park.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we'll start with the Big Brothers, Big Sisters proclamation.
I concur. I would also like to add that I did have the opportunity last month to volunteer for Big Brothers Big Sisters for their annual dodgeball tournament. I was a guest ref Avila Bay Club. It was so much fun. You have no idea how much fun it is to be a ref for dodgeball. I'm not really a big fan of playing dodgeball at this point in my life, but calling people out was a lot of fun. So I definitely recommend it to anybody that wants to get involved and volunteer next year. But I definitely support your position here.
Very nice. Okay, so are we in agreement then? Okay. Now to the issue with the Hero Park. Is that something that maybe you could bring back to us, or you could just look into it and let us know what if it,
Yeah, certainly. We will look into this further. Obviously, dogs shouldn't be on tennis courts. That should be a common sense, universal item. So that's something that we'll take a look at, both with our community services division and the police department ultimately would be enforcing that. And we'll see what we can do and what options we can consider to make sure that this doesn't happen going forward.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much. Okay, now we on to city manager's reports and comments.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Just two quick items on my end. One is we're very pleased to hear that our own Apogee Brewing Company, located on South Oak Park Boulevard, pulled some major awards at the nationwide Great American Beer Festival this past weekend in Denver, Colorado. Just for reference, there are over 9,000 entries into this festival, and Apogee Brewing Company took away 3 medals. A gold medal and 2 bronze medals, and most importantly, they were named the Brewery of the Year for small-scale brewers with 250 barrels or fewer. That's nationwide. That's our little brewing company right here on South Oak Park Boulevard that's been churning out amazing products and just really being part of our community, along with Man Rock Brewing on El Camino Real. So we're talking to them, but maybe about having them come forward with a recognition at an upcoming council meeting. But this is a big deal for them, for the work they do, and for our community. I'm looking at a nationwide publication, and Grover Beach, California is in the second paragraph for what they have done in helping serve their customers and serve our broader community. So kudos to Apogee Brewing Company for their amazing victories.
No doubt. And weren't they a recipient of an ARPA grant?
They were. We had a small business facade outdoor improvement grant 2 years ago, and they received $10,000 of ARPA funding from the city for the outdoor improvements that they've made at their facility. In fact, we were notified by them over the weekend. They contacted the city and just wanted to express their gratitude to the city of Grover Beach for the support that we have shown to them as a small business and to other businesses in our community. So great, great story there. And then just a heads up, a plug for our upcoming Trunk or Treat event coming up on Friday, October 25th, 5 p.m. to dark. It's a collaboration between the city and the Grover Beach Rotary Club. We love this event. It's an annual gem within our city. It should be a great time out there, and we look forward to a lot of fun.
Thank you. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. One of my favorites. City attorney, report or comments?
Nothing to report, Mayor, Council.
Okay. So, would you like to talk us into closed session?
Sure. So, which is one item for a closed session this evening. It's conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, significant exposure to litigation pursuant to paragraph 2 or 3 of subdivision D of Government Code Section 54956.9, one case.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move into closed session then.